Going to invite the Rockwell family to come up at this time. All right, Mr. Rockwell, tell us what y'all are going to be doing this week.
All right, I'll give you the minute and 37-second description here. We're going to Cuba. I was told to say Cuba. That's how they say it down there. You're not supposed to say Cuba. We're going to an organization called Global Baseball. And how it happened, if you can't see God's, I guess, fingerprints all over it, you're blind. But about a year and a half ago, myself and a fellow by the name of Tommy Martin wanted to create a homeschool JV baseball team. We have a varsity team. But we said, boy, we need a feeder program to, you know, because if these kids playing ball or whatever, and then they go right to varsity, it's a big jump. So we put feelers out, and we only got about three or four boys that were old enough to play JV ball. But we had about 15 kids that were middle school age. And my son was middle school age, and Tommy's son was middle school age. It was like God going, here's your sign. Can you figure it out? So we started a middle school baseball team. And all this happened in about a two-week time period. We're invited into this middle school baseball league that they started here in Savannah. And within 2 weeks, we have these 14 kids on the field for the first time. Fast forward about maybe 2 weeks after that, and one of the players on the team, his dad, Mike Locklear, is a pastor at a church here down here on Skidaway, Free Will Baptist, and his son Caleb was on the team. So he'd been playing for us about 2 weeks and hadn't even met his dad yet. And Mike had invited this fellow by the name of Jeff Siegel to come and speak to his church about the Jewish Seder meal. And Jeff has a couple of organizations with the Chosen People Ministries. And then they got to talk, and he's like, yeah, I have this thing called Global Baseball. What do you do? He said, well, we use baseball, little round ball, and we go to different parts of the world, and we tell people about Jesus. So Mike says, really? Caleb's starting playing ball for this guy. He does that in Savannah every year. You guys got to meet. So we met at Chick-fil-A. 2 hours later, we met for breakfast. He's just telling us all this stuff. And it just, he was just telling me what he does. And it's exactly what we do here at Sycamore, the stadium. He said they go to Israel. They go to Dominican Republic. They go to Germany. They go to Cuba. And it was the Dominican where we thought we were supposed to go initially. And then after a conversation with Jeff, it kind of changed to Cuba. And anyway, long story, but that's how it happened. And then the other thing that kind of wove it all in there was a fellow by the name of Brian Doyle is part of Global Baseball. And Brian Doyle played for the New York Yankees in the late 70s, early 80s. He had a brother, Denny Doyle, who played second base with the Red Sox at the same time. And Brian had a twin brother, Blake Doyle, that was an ambidextrous pitcher in the Baltimore Orioles organization. When I was 14, I went to the Doyle Baseball Academy in Florida, where Brian and Blake were the teachers there. They were teaching baseball. Denny was somewhere else. So Jeff tells me this, and I said, wait, time out. Brian Doyle? He said, yeah. I told him that story. He says, you got to talk to him, because Brian Doyle was part of our organization. So Brian's not going on this trip. But we hope to meet him in September when they have a board meeting and stuff like that. But Ryan's going to be 14. Or he is 14 now. And we can build it. You know, so here we are going to Cuba with an organization that Brian Doyle was part of, that I met him when I was 14. He's, I don't know, it's just strange. And just how it all happened, I just look back and just see that, you know, you can't just say, oh, that's just circumstances and it just happened. At least I can't see it that way. There's too many things that had to happen ahead of time. You know, Mike Locklear inviting Jeff Siegel to come months before we even started thinking about a second baseball team to form as a feeder program for the varsity. So, yeah, and Jeff is from New York. So it's just all interwoven. But we're going there. We're flying out on Thursday morning. We'll be in Havana Friday at about 10:30. And Saturday is when we do our first baseball clinic. So we're going to hit the ground running. And then throughout the week, this organization started with four home churches down there. They now have 74. And that's how the people there worship. They can't gather in groups like this. If they gather, the government won't allow them to gather in groups of more than 12. So we'd be way against the law right here. If there were 12 people in here, there might be one more, or one of those 12 is somebody from the government listening to what's being said. And all that we hear is that the people there need hope. So, you know, we got an email, a guy needs a pair of shoes for his family. He played for the Cuban national baseball team. Great, great ball player. But being held down, you know, wasn't allowed to leave the country unless he risked his life and tried to get on, you know, get on a boat. So I don't know what we're going to see. I don't know what to expect. I really have no idea. But it's just something that, you know, it seemed like a good fit for us. And,
whole family.
Yeah, everybody's gone.
Except the dog.
And the cats. Yeah, the cats are staying home. Hopefully Dane can keep them alive. And Don and Deb one more time. Debbie, send Don over there to make sure Abby's not stopped breathing. But yeah, and then we'll be coming back May 9th, next 8:30 at night, May 9th. Hopefully.
Well, we want to pray over you. I have in my hand a baseball that I'm going to put it up here on the table. And as you pray during the service, we're going to pray for them, lay hands on Jason, Terry, and the kids in just a second. But maybe the Lord gives you a word. I want you to write it on this baseball because we're going to send the baseball with them to give to the people down there from us to let them know a physical reminder that while y'all are gone away from us, that we're going to be praying for you, with you. So if you'd like to come and lay hands on them right now, y'all kind of get in a little circle right here, family-wise. Come on, right here. All right. We anoint you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Lord, as we anoint this family and send them out on this mission in your name, Lord, we are apostolic in that as we are joining you, Lord, in sending out in your name and in your power. Because, Lord, when we go in your name, we're going in your power, in the power of the only name under heaven whereby men and women and boys and girls can be saved. The name of Jesus, Yeshua, our Savior. We pray, Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray your anointing to fall upon them, your anointing of protection, your anointing, Lord, as you will prepare the way for them. You'll go ahead. Lord, already you're preparing relationships. You're preparing opportunities. Lord, I pray that they'll go with their spiritual eyes and ears open to hear, to see, to experience all that you want them to experience. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for this faithful family. I thank you, Lord, that long ago you had designed and desired that the Rockwell family would be going to Cuba, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. We bless you now in Jesus' name. Amen. And there's the baseball is up here and a couple of pins. Okay, kiddos, come on and join me. How y'all today? How many of y'all coming to camp? All right. All right. Good deal. Good deal. We're going to have a great time at camp this year. In fact, we're trying to figure out what Miss Priscilla's going to beat Mr. Dane at playing this year. We're going to have a good time with that. All right. I want to share a story with y'all. Listen up. This is on that subject that we talked about last week. When it was evening on that day, on the first day of the week, the doors were shut. And the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, they were shut up behind the doors. Jesus came and stood in front of them. And that's all the Bible says. Jesus came and stood in front of them. The doors are shut, so he just came and stood in front. That means he came through the wall. Pretty awesome, eh? He just went through the wall. Just like he'd just come through that wall right here. This is the Jesus after the resurrection. And he said, "Peace be to you." Because they need some peace, because that upset you if Jesus just came through the wall. And when he had said this, he showed both of his hands and his side to the disciples. And they rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Now, why did he show them his hands and his side? Nail prints and the spear in his side. And so Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me," I think they called him the twin. Because he had a twin brother. He was not with them this time when Jesus appeared to them. And so when the disciples said, "We've seen the Lord," listen to what Thomas said. He said, "Unless I see his hands with the imprint of the nails and put my finger in the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, the disciples are meeting again, and guess who's with them? Thomas is with them this time. And Jesus came in the same way. The doors were shut, so how did he come in? He just came through the wall. And he said the same thing. He said, "Peace be to you." And then he looked straight at Thomas. And what do you think he said to Thomas? Come put your finger and come with your finger, see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side. In other words, Thomas, I heard what you said. Now come see that I am indeed the risen Lord. And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you today because you see and believe. But many are going to come after you who will not see but will still believe." That's all of us. Did it show this? Did it show about Thomas? Yeah, that's pretty neat, isn't it? So what does that say that Jesus is listening to right now? Everything we say. And we need to say the same that Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Now, we had a saying that came out of that because of that story. When someone doubts what you say, what do we call them? A doubting Thomas. That's where that phrase comes from. But doubting Thomas became a believing Thomas. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for these children. I pray that you'll take your word to their hearts, that they'll hear your voice, they'll listen to you, Lord, and obey in their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Y'all can go to Kids Zone. I don't know if you notice all the things that go on. Today, a lot of things have gone on in the band and in the worship team. Donnie had a blowout on his one of his sticks earlier. Didn't think we noticed that. And Gringo was sitting in on the bass guitar today, and old Dave stood up when he's supposed to shut up, and he's got a wounded finger here today, which is kind of tough for a guy that plays a guitar, that bends the strings. You know what today is? Outside of being the first day of the week, today is National Day where we remember the Holocaust. And the Holocaust that we've had certain world leaders that have said didn't exist. How about that? Can you imagine some idiot saying the Holocaust didn't happen? And we had at least 6.5 million Jews that were murdered, that were exterminated off the face of the planet. 48, they came back to the land, a miracle of the ages. To be a free people in our land, the land of Zion and Jerusalem. What a wonderful testimony to be living in this time, this day and age, and see what the Lord is doing with His chosen people, the Jews in the earth. And to see the numbers of them that are accepting the message of what we preached last Sunday and what I'm going to preach today in just a few moments. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 24. Luke is referring to of those who believed, two of those who had followed after the resurrection, were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about all the things which had taken place. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus Himself approached and began traveling. This ever happened to any of you? But their eyes were prevented from recognizing Him. So at this point in the story, what we know is that from Luke's perspective, these two disciples should have recognized Jesus, but they didn't. Now, some have speculated in later names in the next couple of verses that names one of them is Cleopas. Some have speculated that the other one was actually Luke himself. We don't know, but he's unnamed. Important part of the story. But their eyes were prevented, verse 16, from recognizing Him. And He said to them, "What are these words that you're exchanging with one another as you're walking?" And they stood still. Now imagine it. They're walking along, and Jesus says to them, "What are these words that you're exchanging with one another?" And they just stop in the middle of the road, and they look sad. And hear what they say. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to Him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which had happened here in these days?" In other words, man, where have you been? All this stuff's going on and you can't see it? You don't know? Verse 19. And Jesus said to them, "What things?" And they said, "The things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty indeed, and word in the sight of God and all the people. And how the chief priest and our rulers delivered Him to a sentence of death and they crucified Him. But we were hoping it was He who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened." They say all this. What's the one thing they don't say? What did we say to one another last Sunday? He is risen. He is risen indeed. They're saying it's supposed to happen. It's the third day. But they're not confirming that it's happened. But also some of the women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early this morning. This is Sunday afternoon. And did not find his body. And they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women had said. But him they did not see. So what have we got here so far with Cleopas and whoever this other disciple is? Two guys that aren't buying the story. They hadn't bought in yet. They're not believing. And he said to them, Jesus says to them, now get these biting words from Jesus. Ooh, this is tough. He said, O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in Scripture. And we've read this story several times before. In fact, I preached on it about a year ago. Here's Jesus just laying out the whole story, taking the word and laying it out so they could understand it. And they approached the village, verse 28, where they were going, and he acted as though he were going farther. But they urged him, saying, stay with us, for it's getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. Now, I want you to remember where the story began. Jesus just joins them on the walk. And on the walk, how are they looking at Jesus? They're looking at Jesus like somebody who is an imbecile, who doesn't get it. But oh, how things change. He asks questions of them, as he always does. And what are the questions designed to do? Is he looking for information? When Jesus asks you a question, is he ever looking for information? What's the design of the question? When your teacher at school asks you a question, are they looking for information? No, it's designed to make you take a look at yourself. And boy, how it flips. Now this guy that is walking along, it's about 7 miles. They've walked together, and he's laid out the plan of redemption for them. And now they want him to stay with them. They ask him, they implore him, stay with us. Verse 30, when he reclined at the table with them, he took bread and he blessed it. Now, listen, I've heard preachers and teachers destroy this. They think, oh, he's seeing the Lord's Supper. Well, that's true, but there hasn't been any teaching on that yet. This is just a couple of days past. This is just 3 days past when he instituted it. So they haven't had time for the notes and outlines to get out on the teaching on it. So they are seeing what he does in the Passover, in the Seder meal. They are seeing the reality that he indeed is the fulfillment of this. Do you follow me on this? This is awesome. This is awesome. They see that. What does the scripture say? He takes the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And the scripture says, and their eyes were open. Listen, that's why we can say every time that we have communion, that miraculous happens. Because he's here. Just as he is right now. He's not silent. Their eyes were open. And they recognized him. My question to you, how many times has Jesus walked on the road with you and you didn't know it? How many times those thoughts that were coming into your mind that he was putting there and you didn't give him credit? You were about your own agenda. How many times have you been right up to the edge and he's standing there in front, and you couldn't see. Then their eyes were opened, they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road?" Can you imagine that? That truth is just burning in your heart. The presence of the Lord. While he was explaining the scripture. And they got up that very hour and they returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 who were with them, saying, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." And then they began to relate their experiences on the road, how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. Mark refers to this story in a couple of verses. I want to close with this. That initial statement from Jesus, "Oh, foolish me, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken." Foolish me. I'm right here. But you're not seeing. I'm speaking. But you're not hearing. Slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. That makes me ask another question. Yes, Jesus laid it out how he was the fulfillment of all that the prophets have said. But I wonder as he was laying out that about his first coming, I wonder, as he was doing that, if he wasn't also laying out his second coming. And I wonder, as we sit here today, here, 2014, and we see all that's going on in the world, I just wonder if the Lord isn't saying the same thing. How slow of heart are you to understand all that the Lord is speaking through his prophet? Because we're living in a time where we're seeing God run through the islets of truth. The presence of himself. And drawing together all of that truth. And pulling it out. It's like you've had these threads of truth with islets that go down into the body of what we're doing. And he runs himself through all of that. And he pulls it out. And what when you pull it out and you see all those threads together, what do you see? You see the tapestry of, "I'm coming back soon." That's what you got to see today. The risen Lord. Yes, we celebrated his resurrection last Sunday. But we celebrate his resurrection every day. And we celebrate the fact that he is coming soon. The events of this world and all the things that are going on, they should excite us. We should be wound up because we get to see all this truth, what the prophets have spoken of. We're getting to see the world players come together. We're getting to see what's happening right there in Jerusalem. He is coming again. And He is getting us ready. If we'll let Him. Oh, foolish one. Oh, slow of heart. That's not exactly what I want to hear Jesus say to me. How about you? Now, do you really believe that He's the Son of God? Do you really believe that He arose from the dead? Do you really believe that He fulfilled all those prophecies? Do you really believe that He is who He said that He is? Have you received Him as your Savior? Is He Lord of your life? You see, there's no in-between place, Jesus. Either He is all that He said, or He's a raving lunatic. A howling at the moon lunatic. As we look today in the world, He is stirring up His church all over the world today. Signs and wonders are taking place. There are Jews living in different parts of the world, in some very impressive places. They're having visions of this guy Yeshua coming to them. There are places where we see the power of God that is happening. God is doing miraculous things in the earth. He's getting us ready. He is risen and He's coming back real soon. Today, before we pray, I just ask you to take inventory of where your life is, where your commitment level is with the Lord, where you're. Is it a true enough statement about Jesus and in our lives that we would share it with the people who are dearest to us online? Our family, friend, our neighbor. Is it true? Or is it false? Is He Lord? Or is He liar? Going to open the altar today if you'd like to come and pray. I'd encourage you to ask the Lord to let this message come to your heart today. I encourage you also to ask Him to put on your heart the people of your family and friends and where they stand today. Some are this close. This close. Jesus is standing there. Ready. Will you pray? Will you pray for them? Will you intercede for them? Is it worth it? Does it matter? This afternoon, Dane, at 1 o'clock today, Dane is going to be speaking at a funeral of a man. I want to ask you, does it matter to his family at that funeral today whether or not Jesus is risen from the dead? Does it matter? Does that matter to your life? When all hell breaks loose in your life and all the stuff is going to hell in a handbasket, does it matter that Jesus is true in what He said? Has He been there with you? Has He come and fished your fat out of the fire before? Is He doing it right now? Has He come with His peace, the peace of the presence? Well, if it's good enough for you, is it not good enough for the people dearest to you? The people that you love? The people that are your friends, your neighbors? And as I speak this message to you, I'm cognizant of the fact that in order to put one finger forward to point in that direction, three have to come back. That's God's economy on a truth like that. Holy Spirit's doing a little tap dance on my touch. Well, that's all I got to say about that. Let's pray. Lord, as we open the altar today, we come and we intercede. Lord, I've got family members. You're racing their pictures in front of me right now that need You desperately today. Lord, I ask You for their salvation. I ask You for the power of the resurrection. And Lord, as I pray that prayer, I want to thank You, thank You, thank You that years ago, You came, and I got to see You save my daddy. Lord, I praise You for that. The power of the resurrection, a new life. Lord, we're joining together as our body today to lift up those who own our hearts and our lives today. Friends, family members who desperately need You today. Lord, make of us not nuts in the name of Jesus, but powerful, Lord, examples of Your love and Your kindness and Your faithfulness. Lord, that we would not be obnoxious, but Lord, we would be a sweet savor of the love of God. Come, Lord. Come. Come right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, stir up the gifts. Lord, we who say we have the Holy Spirit who is in us, who has baptized us, who has indwelt us, who fills us. Lord, I'm praying You'll stir up the gifts that we could be what You've called us to be. And Lord, that is to present You to a world that's going to hell. Lord, come now. Come. The altar's open. If you want somebody to pray with you, go get them. The altar's open. Would you like to get those cards from you today? Do you have an offering to bring? And please, if the Lord's given you a word to send with the Rockwells on this baseball, make sure you write it on them before you leave today. Okay? God bless you. I love you. Go and grab.